get awkward for a second. I'm not going to talk dirty or talk about some humiliating story, although I will say that awkwardness and embarrassment kind of go hand in hand, and I think we've all had our share of awkward moments that have led to embarrassing or possibly humiliating moments. But I don't really want to focus on that feeling of embarrassment or even humiliation, but I do want to focus on awkwardness. Because I feel like that's the part of it that we can control. Would you agree? I mean, I'm someone here who has had more than my fair share of awkward moments that have been all because of my choices and how to act. I don't think I want to start in grade school or junior high with the kind of awkwardness that we've all gone through there. But let's start at something like when I was 14, I remember going to my very first job interview, and I'm pretty sure I wore a green sweater and black pants. And at the time, I had no idea what I should wear or how I should conduct myself in an interview. Thank God I didn't do anything inappropriate, and I was a very polite and reasonable 14-year-old freshman in high school getting a job after getting a work permit. And so I'm sure the hiring manager was very lenient considering my age and considering that there is a standard protocol for what's expected in a professional job interview. This was not necessarily a professional job. But moving on from there, I think my path through the jobs I've had and the experiences I've had in that time and times leading up to now have all kind of seasoned me in this notion of awkwardness, which comes from the fact that when you're put into situations where you're meeting people for the first time, or you are somehow on display, it forces you to consider your outward either appearance or perception to people. So from an early age, playing in bands and playing music, I've become accustomed to, in high school, standing in front of a lot of people and playing an instrument or performing in some way, shape, or form. At 18, I was put into a management position where, never mind the fact that just being a manager or in a supervisory role, you're having to delegate and guide and teach people. But at 18, I was doing this for people who are sometimes more than twice my age. And there's a certain awkwardness that comes to that, which is kind of like being on stage and being in front of people, but also having to use a level of responsibility to show leadership. And this followed me everywhere I went into various positions, personally in doing things like directing, to even professionally, where after years of being in management, I eventually became a teacher, which is a whole other level of awkwardness, standing in front of hundreds of 14 through 18-year-olds who, coming around full circle, at that age, you don't necessarily know what you're supposed to be like, or how you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to interact with all sorts of people and all facets of situations. So the idea of awkwardness is nothing new to any of us, especially to me, because I've been put in quite a few situations where the awkwardness is something palpable and can really determine the outcome of whatever happens. Something happened recently to me where awkwardness really came to the forefront of my mind and really made me evaluate what this whole idea is and why it's even worth talking about. So I went to Target, and as I'm pulling into the parking lot, I pull into a particular lane to look for a spot. And as one would, you're looking for spots, you're driving slowly, and if the lot's full, you'll tend to look out for brake lights and reverse lights to indicate that someone's leaving. So I pull into this particularly busy parking lot on an afternoon where lots of people are coming and going, and I see that someone is about to leave. So I put on my blinker and I wait patiently. I see another car approaching from the opposite direction, and as the car starts to inch forward, presumably looking for a spot themselves, I notice that they kind of signal to me and they gesture towards the spot that I am waiting for, which is closer to them. It's on their right side, my left side. And this young lady in the car who gestures to the spot I'm waiting for does so with her hand as if to say, "Are you waiting for that spot?" And I nod and I point to the same spot to confirm that, Yes, I am waiting for that spot. So something strange happens at this point. She continues to inch forward, and as she inches forward, I see her speaking, and almost as if she's speaking to me, as if she's trying to say something. Her driver's side window is down, and so I bring my window down because apparently she's speaking to me, and she's got a look of disdain or distaste on her face, and I'm not exactly sure why. Before she passes me, the spot I'm waiting for opens up and that driver leaves. But before I pull into that, this young lady is passing me, and as our windows are now both open, the look on her face is so disappointed and annoyed. This is what she says. Oh my God, I personally told you to take that spot and now he has to wait. Oh my God, how rude. Oh my God. I was so shocked and confused by whatever this woman was trying to tell me in relation to the spot that I was going to take that all I could say to her was, I'm sorry, and I pointed to the spot that I was going to pull into. Presumably, there was some conflict here that happened that I wasn't aware of regarding a parking spot. I was flummoxed by this encounter for the next few hours because I tried to wrap my head around what actually happened. Because I offended someone somehow in some way, whether unintentionally or not, and I wanted to figure out how and why. Something seemed off. Now, if I had taken her spot, that was one thing. Where I had pulled into this parking lane and put my blinker on for a car that was about to leave before this woman ever pulled up. And so if I had taken the spot, it wouldn't have been out of turn because I was there first, well before she entered that lane. But the weird part was that as she was passing me, the things she was saying made it seem like I had wronged her because I didn't take a spot that she was trying to give me or something like that. I was completely confused, but she was so offended. And she was calling me rude, and I didn't know how to handle it. Now, looking back on it, I'm kind of assuming that this young lady had some more issues than was apparent. But at the same time, this awkward encounter seemed to speak to the difficulty that we have communicating with each other, especially in public situations where you're dealing with strangers, and in the ways that we communicate, whether that's for something positive or something negative. She was obviously telling me I was rude because I had somehow wronged her, and the reason to this point doesn't make sense because if she was trying to save a spot for me, I don't know when I confirmed with her that I was going to take the spot she was saving. But even so, because I was waiting for a different spot and took it, I don't know why that would ruin her day so much. In any case, I feel like after this encounter, I was confused. I went into Target and encountered seemingly more almost clueless and possibly ignorant people, but that's another conversation, because if you want to talk about the people of Walmart, I think you can also talk about the people of Target. But I digress. I don't want this to be a negative rant about the judgment of people. Really, what this makes me think of is the state of our communication as people. And when I think about the world and how we're all communicating with each other, it's not looking good. The world really is getting worse. There's no question that we could talk about the environment when it comes to a worsening situation, but really I'm talking about the people right now. I'm not going to prescribe any life-changing advice on how to live better, but as someone who has studied people and the amazing ways we communicate, I'd like to offer a few nuggets. The biggest and most significant thing I could say is to not be awkward. It sounds simple, but actually it's a key to restarting a positive cycle of human interaction that I think we've lost. I'd blame the internet, but it really doesn't matter. It's ultimately on us. The way we treat ourselves affects the way we treat each other, and in turn how we treat the world as a whole. And while this might be simplistic, there's a difference between telling people to be good to each other and just striving not to be awkward. There's a natural flow to successful communication and harmony in being considerate that can really start people down a path of self-reflection and even self-love. And really, if we all find a way to take care of and love ourselves, it might spread. Wait a second, Chris. Are you trying to get all new age and spiritual on us? No, because my age isn't at all new, and I don't really believe in spirits, except for those as good as a high-quality mezcal. I'm saying don't be awkward. And if there's a few ways I've learned this, it's to look at yourself, your behavior around people, and the first impression you leave on strangers. For example, when shaking hands, always grip the palm firmly. Never grab the fingers. I don't know how many times I've reached out for a firm handshake, complete with eye contact and a smile to confirm the mutual respect of the first moments of meeting, and someone squeezes my fingers at the knuckles like they're trying to choke a frozen squid. It's the most uncomfortable thing in the world, and perhaps one of the more awkward encounters because you're making contact with someone, and it makes you feel like you're actually being the awkward one because your fingers are being squished in this person's hand. Every time it's happened, I don't know what to do. I can't change my grip. I can't reset my hand. I'm not going to yank my hand away and try it again. I stand there for a few shakes of their hand while they are squeezing my fingers awkwardly. Palm to palm, wrap the fingers. It's not very difficult. But immediately, while I'm trying to introduce myself to you, you're already saying something to me about you. First of all, it says you're kind of awkward for not being able to do a very basic form of a physical greeting. This kind of lends to manners and how you've been taught to interact with strangers, especially those you're interested in getting to know. If we're shaking hands, presumably it might be under a polite or cordial situation where we're going to get introduced and get familiar with each other. Shaking my fingers or squeezing them in a weird way instead of a proper handshake also says you're not self-aware enough to be paying attention to the little details of the meeting. If you can't shake a hand properly and don't notice what you're doing, then where is your head for the rest of the conversation? I often look at the people as they're doing this to me and wonder, what are you doing? You're squeezing my fingers. Like, I stuck out my hand so you could shake it. Our palms should touch and our fingers should wrap around the hand so that we can shake. That's how the greeting works. How do you not notice that when you're just squeezing somebody's fingers, that they're uncomfortable and it's not really working? If you're not self-aware, it's actually a form of selfishness that, rather than directing things to your own wants, neglects what you are possibly giving to others, which in this case is a bad impression. Another example of this is to not wear your sunglasses indoors. The image of the cool movie star wearing dark shades has really lost its appeal and mystery simply due to the fact that the public is keenly aware of the distance that celebrities are rightfully trying to make between themselves and the rest of the world. And this is because of their lack of privacy. I get that. So when I see a rock star or celebrity wearing sunglasses during an interview, I kind of understand. But for the rest of us, wearing sunglasses indoors and blocking eye contact is a clear sign of avoidance. The eyes are the windows to the soul, and you're effectively putting blackout curtains on yours. Not that one needs to bare their soul to everyone, but come on. It's a little presumptuous to assume that someone will gain a tremendously violating insight into you personally just from being able to make eye contact in the grocery store. You're saying to people, I want to see you without you seeing me. The fact that you want to avoid the personal contact of exchanging, acknowledging glances is already apparent. But add that to the fact that you can make a one-way mirror contact with people to evaluate or consider them without their awareness or participation is mildly inconsiderate at best and offensively rude at worst. It's never bright enough to wear shades indoors. The bottom line is that your immediately established position of avoidance tells everyone in the room what you're about without you saying a word. On the other hand, if you want to go the opposite direction and say a whole lot of words, like our friend in the Target parking lot, try and do so without the tone-deaf manner of complete misinterpretation of people's intentions. The car analogy can go far by reminding yourself that for every time someone cuts you off, there's probably another instance where you are the one doing the cutting. And how guilty do you feel when you do that, if at all? It's easy to mischaracterize simply on single actions, as this rant so ineloquently tries to point out. If you feel these single one-off encounters don't matter because you'll never have to deal with the person again, well, think again. The ripple effect of ruining someone's day and consequently numbing yourself to the ignorance you're perpetuating has a far greater reach than just minor annoyance. This is part of the reason why it was so almost shockingly confusing to me that I had upset this woman in whatever I had done waiting for a parking spot. I didn't like going away from that situation knowing that I had had that impression on this person. And in turn, clearly her impression on me was not the most positive. This weird misinterpretation and misreading of cues and inability to understand each other, I think, comes from the internet culture of this knee-jerk YouTube commenting mentality of speaking without thought and baselessly reacting without consideration of others. I mean, this woman didn't ask me any questions. She didn't go, oh, why didn't you do this? Or why did you do that? She was literally almost speaking some kind of weird YouTube comment reaction to whatever I had done that she had somehow misinterpreted as rude. One component to this is the idea that whether in text messages or social media comments, people forget the value in all the other parts of communication that make message delivery successful, like tone, body language, and other nonverbal properties that signify intent and consideration for that message to be properly received. If you decide to spew a reaction like a baby spitting up without control and in such a primally immature way, then you kind of warrant the reaction that you receive. Conversely, if you think that silence and staring at a screen is an effective form of communication, then consider the title Away with Words and realize that all the screen tapping is essentially meaningless without context and intent. If you find yourself staring at your screen every free chance you get, especially out in public, or the worst, when in the company of friends and family, you've proven yourself to be one of the most awkward of them all. Which leads us to the last and possibly most offensive awkwardness, the phone zombie. Now you may know I love zombies, but only in the world of allegorical fiction. In real life, the hordes of mindless shamblers are often stumbling into traffic seeking out not human flesh, but Pokemon, or some other frivolous social media driven goal. Like taking a selfie on the edge of a cliff and paying the price for that moment of narcissistic glory. In recent years, there's plenty not to like about humans and our capacity for evil, but that hasn't changed for centuries, honestly. What has changed is our propensity for awkwardness because of our ignorance. While it's a bigger issue to tackle things like our murderous nature, on the contrary, it should be easier to be considerate of each other and even ourselves. I'm constantly reminded of how difficult the latter is when I'm in public and witness these packs of the brain undead huddled among the masses, not feasting on a victim, but instead consuming eye candy into their slack-jawed expressions as they stare into their screens attempting to be, quote, social. This is especially bad at a dinner table where all attendees are completely unaware of each other and warming themselves, not from the companionship of those with them, but by the cold, lifeless glow of their screens. This especially breaks my heart when the table is filled partly with tiny humans holding screens that don't yet have the developed capacity to have even practiced real-life communication with others, especially with their own family. The screen time issue with children is a separate conversation. As a parent and a screen user myself, believe me, I get the argument at all levels, but when it's used to awkwardly fill a void in the company of others or the learning moments of parenting, it's disappointing at the most base level of being able to share moments with each other rather than some collectively destructive distraction from real life. The line between awkwardness and ignorance is a fine one indeed, and perhaps this whole thing was similarly a thinly veiled diatribe against the latter, but the former should really be the focus as all of these things make us awkward, not just as individuals, but as people. Doing things contradictory to our nature, typing when we should be talking, staring at ourselves in selfies when we should be sharing with each other, but not sharing links or memes, but authentic and genuine communication. We're an animal that rose to the top of the chain, just so we can destroy ourselves. If that's not the most awkward thing, then I don't know what is. And we're doing it willfully, and because we apparently like it. How awkward of a conversation with higher alien life would that be? To explain our infinite awkwardness of hating, killing, and destroying one another, and for no other reason than we kind of like it most of the time. Poor diet, war, environmental destruction, all things we do on purpose and are awkwardly unable to acknowledge or deal with. A cynic would look in a collective mirror and say, evil. When I look in that mirror, I say awkward, because like a baby learning to crawl and walk, the missteps and errors are not for lack of trying and certainly not unfixable. In other words, we're going to look stupid figuring this out. But even if you walk into that room, holding your phone in one hand, limply shaking a hand with the other, just to peer around at everyone through your sunglasses, what you do when you finally take a seat and decide to stay is completely up to you. From awkward, we can move onward, and hopefully upward.